Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you as always. Cigar Federation out here in lovely California, where it's rapidly getting to be chilly California. We got some rain in the forecast in a couple of days. Although, Logan, with Thanksgiving coming up, I'm having all the family over. And
really,
it's not the biggest family in the world. We're going to have like 14 people.
It's not bad.
We don't really have like a traditional dining room.
Ooh.
So we don't really have a place for 14 people. But it's going to be 72 degrees
on
Thanksgiving.
That's awesome.
And for some reason, Thanksgiving, everybody eats dinner at 3 o'clock. So we're going to be outside on the patio.
Dude, that's cool. It's supposed to be 70 degrees here in Austin as well. So we're going to have not quite that many because, you know, my parents are curmudgeons and don't ever travel for anything. My dad didn't even come to my own damn wedding, but that's neither here or there. Sorry not to get all dark here, but, yeah, he didn't come to Costa Rica. But yeah, it's just Ali's family. So, yeah, we'll probably be outside hanging out too. But anyways, that was a weird intro because usually you'll pass it to me. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited. I don't have to deal with it's going to be not so tight. And then I can get everything's going to be done. We're all going to be cleaned up by kickoff for the 49er game at 5:30 and watch them lose to the Seahawks. It's really going to ruin my day. But anyway, neither either here nor there. We've got Jack Tarano with us from Roberto P. Duran Cigars. Jack, thanks for taking the time, man.
Anytime, guys. It's a pleasure being on the show. I mean, it's going to be 71 here in Miami on Thanksgiving, too. Looks like it's going to be beautiful weather.
That's not a surprise, isn't it? It's usually still really warm this time of year over there, right?
Yeah, it was in the mid-80s today. It still gets up there.
Has it ever snowed in Miami?
Yeah, in like 1977 or 79, there was a big headline of the Miami Herald, snow in Miami. I don't think it stuck much, but yeah.
But it just shut the town down.
No, it wasn't that kind of snow.
Oh, okay.
It was a dusting.
Yeah, I like dusting. Yeah, there you go.
Dude, if it snows in Austin, it hadn't snowed in Austin in a really long time, but when it does, I mean, there's no need to have like snow trucks or ice trucks. So when it happens,
people lose their damn minds.
Oh, dude, it's game over. Anyway.
How about what went on in Buffalo? That would paralyze any city.
Crazy. And then it went up to like, they had, I don't know how many feet of snow they had and how cold
it was. It was like 8 foot, wasn't it?
It was some 8 feet.
And yeah.
And then the next day it was like 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Oh, they had flooding. Oh,
that is unreal. I don't want anything to do with that.
Hey, listen, so you're a 49ers fan?
Yeah.
Well, I need Anquan Boldin to do well. So he's been my secret weapon the last few weeks on my fantasy team.
He's
been
on the bench on my fantasy team. I don't know why. I'm so used to watching them go from 1 week it's Stevie Johnson who has a big week, and then it's Anquan Boldin, and then out of nowhere, Crabtree gets a bunch of passes. And for some reason, the only one that I can actually stick with is Vernon Davis, because I feel like eventually it's going to happen.
He's been having a rough year. What's he got, about 20 catches total?
If even. Bolton's looked great.
He had 18 going into the game, so that was the one that's killing me is Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall's killing me.
Yeah.
He had one good week, three bad weeks.
So. Yeah, that's a lot of – we're getting off topic, but whatever. A lot of the first-round picks have kind of struggled, unless you took, like, Peyton Manning or – I took Matt Forte
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. Well, yeah, but nobody took him until the fourth round.
I took him in the third round.
My first round pick was
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I had him because I ended up with like the eighth to tenth pick in a bunch of drafts, and I ended up with him in every one. Figured, what the hell, I'll get 25 points out of my tight end every week. Yeah, right. And went off topic, but I don't know, from like the standard top first round picks. I mean, who's been good? Matt Forte's been really good, but he was kind of at the end of the first round. Same with DeMarco Murray, was a second round pick, and all those guys that you took really early.
I remember how excited the guy was with the first pick when he took Adrian Peterson.
My wife and I did a league together this year. My wife is really good at fantasy baseball. We have a really deep, nerdy fantasy baseball league with like minor league rosters and everything, and she's awesome. And she's he wanted to do football this year, and we had some friends who were doing a draft at home, and everybody got together, and we all had some beers and cigars and everything and drafted, and it was a lot of fun. But we had the first pick, and I was like, no-brainer, Adrian Peterson. I've never had him. Awesome. We got 9 points out of the guy.
Do you guys ever watch The League?
You know, I've never watched that show.
That's one of the best shows on TV. You got to watch
it. I'll have to watch it. We are boring Logan to tears, so I'm gonna.
What is this, fancy football chat or cigar chat? What the hell?
That was fun. I get excited when we get to talk about that stuff.
You get all giddy, man. You get the front of your seat. You're like,
I'm all into it. Yeah.
Nerds.
No, I think look for Bolden to have a good game, though. I mean, somebody's got to have a good game if the Niners have a shot. I think it's going to be a smash mouth game. A lot of yards in between the 20s. I can see.
All right, I'll be calling you back if he doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. You don't hold me to that. So, okay, so let's get back to the topic.
Let's bring our guest Logan in.
Yes, please. Thank you.
So like I said, let's get back to the topic at hand. We want to talk about cigars. So we all kind of know a little bit about your background with Tarano Cigars. Now you're over to Roberto P. Duran. So let's kind of start with not really at the beginning, but give us a little bit of a brief background with you, what you were doing with Tarano and then your transition.
Tarano, actually, I worked a little bit with a family back in the 80s when you couldn't give away cigars. It was a dying industry and left it just a few years before the boom hit, so my timing was impeccable. And I came back in the end of 2010, 2011, I came back and started working with this generation of Tarano cigars and handled marketing and public relations and branding and product development. And, you know, it's a small company, so we all wore a lot of hats. And everything seemed to be going well until September 11th of this year when Charlie called us into a meeting that we thought was a plan for the future. And in a way it was. It just, that plan didn't include any of us.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
Oh, no, believe me, it's now it's laughable. That day it wasn't. So he announced that he had sold to General, and basically we were all out of a job, and it was kind of very depressing and heartbreaking for a couple of weeks, and then it was time to get back on my feet, and the entire team back on their feet, and luckily we were all getting some really good offers, and a lot of companies were interested in us, and our national sales director Miguel Chaudel with Tarano, along with our Mid-Atlantic rep Frank Cooten, signed on with Roberto P. Duran, and Miguel then quickly started talking to me about that he thought it was a great fit for me, and I've known Roberto for a few years, so I've always liked the direction he was going in. I mean, he's got a rich history in this industry. He's got a He worked at Habanos in Cuba. He brought Cuban cigars to Asia, to Canada, and about 4 years ago, he worked for Ashton. He's known within the industry very well, and he started creating his own blends with the Asan brand, AZAN, that was the history of his wife. She was the Asan family from Cuba. They had a factory in 1928 through to the revolution, to 1959. Asan was a famous brand in cigars, and he resurrected that about three years ago. The thing he didn't have was a sales team or anybody to really push it out there. So it kind of got into some stores, but sat on the shelves. So this year he brought out, for the IPCPR, he brought out three new blends, which was Neya, the Roberto Premium, and Baracoa, and started putting together a sales team, a national sales force, and Miguel's leading the way, and we're hoping that you all will start hearing a lot of great things about this company, because we're very proud to work for him.
Dude, the Burgundy for $4 is a steal. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah,
I don't know how you make it so damn cheap.
I don't either. It's my early morning cigar every day. I love that cigar. So it's,
I love that cigar too.
It's.
I agree. And yeah, I think
he's got all price points. I mean, he really You know, the premium is in the $10 range, along with the Asan Maduro, and then everything else. I mean, one of the Burgundy, the Chicos, the little guys, is $1.96 a stick.
I mean, holy crap!
A good dog walker, a good quick smoke. So,
is that a short filler?
It's a medium fill.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a, it's not short. It's medium. It's. That's what I've been told.
Okay. No, I was just curious. I'm actually not even I'm not even sure what size that was. What size is it? You said, what's the specs on it?
On well, there's Burgundy. There's six sizes. Actually, there might be like nine sizes. One of the two. The Barracoa has nine sizes. The Burgundy has six sizes. The Chico is just a little, maybe 4.5x5x38.
Oh wow. Okay.
A little tiny guy.
Okay. Cool.
And I may be wrong in some of those things because I'm 6 weeks into this and and still I'm hitting the road hard and handling marketing along with today. I spent the day in the office till I got a scorching migraine headache with Roberto.
Oh.
So I'm doing a lot of the same things I did with Tarano, with the addition of traveling and covering Florida. So I get to be out of the office a lot and wander around, which has been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
You're remarkably chipper for somebody who's getting over a migraine.
Oh, that what did you give me? four Advils. Four Advils did it.
It did. Actually, the answer to that question didn't really matter. What did I take? Oh well, whatever. It's just I'm in a good mood now, so that's all that matters. No, migraines, man, I get those occasionally. My wife gets them, too, and it's like, you got to shut everything down. I need draw the drapes, put a blanket over my head, and don't breathe.
My wife takes it one step further. She sees them coming. I've never...
I have ocular migraines.
She has ocular migraines that she can see. She foresees them into the future, so it's kind of freaky.
Yeah, that's like it's like being a Jedi, where you can kind of see into the future, but then it's always bad.
All right, we're off topic again. Logan's getting bored.
And usually I'm the one that takes it off topic. This is very strange for me. Like, I'm in a whole new world here.
Okay, so let's kind of run down, you know, there's, like you said, there's the Azan.
I'll tell you the whole lineup. There's
the whole lineup. There you go.
Let's start with the Barracoa. The Barracoa is our version of a little bit higher-end bundle. It comes in a box, a cardboard box, so it's a little dressed a little bit nicer than a regular bundle. Comes in nine sizes, and a lot of stores have been really loving that cigar. The next step would probably be the Asan Burgundy, which we talked about. Then we have the Neya, which is has five sizes, and the unique thing about the cigar is that the two bigger sizes, the Toro and the 660, have extra Ligero in them to make them stronger. So as you have five cigars, I'd never seen this before, but it's kind of the three smaller sizes were geared more to the European market. We sell a lot in Europe and Asia. And then they added the two bigger sizes for the American market. And the American market is yearning for stronger and stronger cigars. So we kicked them up and nicknamed them F8s. Which is what I learned, the strongest typhoon is an F8.
Oh, dear.
Fujita? Huh. Like, well, I know with tornadoes, an F5 is as strong as you can get, and it's the Fujita scale.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I thought it was F5, and they said, well, that's tornadoes. Typhoons go to F8. And I Googled it, and then they were right. So
I don't know, man. I don't know about all this.
All I know about
I said, you guys are wrong. It's F5. And I Googled
it. Dude, that's the argument. So I'm like, you're wrong. I don't care what Google says.
I mean, I saw a Twister. I know it was F5. That was the big one.
Well, it's a typhoon. And so I've spent some time in Eastern, Asian stuff. So cyclone is like a hurricane. But what is a typhoon? That's like their hurricane, right?
I don't know. I only remember typhoons from Gilligan's Island.
Dude, I am not that old, so I have never seen an episode of Gilligan's Island ever.
You've never other than the
no, dude. Other than the radio, the coconut radio that never worked, and then somehow they got off the island because the show ended. That's all I know.
Yeah, you missed out on a good childhood here. Gilligan's Island and I Love Lucy would have taught you the facts of life.
I know. I probably needed it.
I'm not that much older than you.
So are you a Ginger or Marianne? Who are you going for?
Oh, me? Me? I think I was more of a Ginger.
There you go. That tells that they got that down to that tells the whole story of a man right there. Do you like Ginger? Or do you like Marianne? That says a lot about you.
Yeah. I think I was. If memory serves, I was a Ginger. But
dumb question is, Ginger have red hair?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, the show was black and white, Logan.
I'm sorry. I wasn't born in the era of black and white TV, so I have no friggin' clue.
The show wasn't black and white.
I'm just kidding.
Was it really black and white or not?
No.
Oh, okay.
And it's on. You have Nick at Night, dude. It's got to be on there somewhere.
All right, dude. I'm gonna have to watch it now.
Well, I don't know.
Box it.
I remember it as a kid, and I'm not that much older than you. I mean, I'm older than you, but what, like 5 or 6 years?
Like 7.
Yeah. Well, that's not that much. That's not even a full generation.
Dude, we're completely. I'm Generation Y, or no, I'm a millennial, and you're technically Generation Y, I think. Well, anyways, why are we talking about this? Let me ask a real question, Jack.
I believe you.
Roberto obviously has a storied history in the cigar industry.
You've said
several brands. What was the impetus, big word, for him to kind of carve his own path, Crown Heads, hashtag, to his own cigar line?
That is an awesome question. I'm going to ask him that tomorrow. I have, you know what? I mean, I think it may be just a natural progression. I mean, he had, he was ready to move on to his own cigar, I guess. You know, that happened a little bit before me, but I am going to ask him that question in case this should come up again.
Done. Well, let me ask you. So this year at IPC, well, you weren't, I guess, a part of IPCPR for Roberto Duran, but since coming on, I mean, what are the plans for Roberto Duran cigars? Obviously, increasing the sales force, going out. I mean, what can we see out of you guys for, say, the next year until IPCPR?
Well, I mean, I think we will be ramping up little by little toward the IPCPR, hoping to. I'm doing a lot of PR. All the sales guys are doing a lot of PR out there. They're building relationships with retailers. They're little by little, you know, getting the word out in hopes that people carry us. You know, I think we were at about less than 50 retailers a month ago. We're approaching 200 now.
Good God, really?
So that's without Texas. That's you know, there's very few stores in California even carrying a San. Right now, the Midwest is taking off because Miguel has, you know, he's in one way or another has been in this industry for, not in one way or another, as a sales rep for 11 years in the Midwest. And he's got a lot of great relationships and a lot of people that really believe in him. So the rest of us are, I really never handled sales other than at events. So I knew a lot of retailers, but not in a way of visiting them and selling them product. I sold more directly to consumers at events. So it's building relationships and getting them to believe that we're moving in that direction. We're signing on to more and more advertising. We're in Cigar Snob. We're going to be in Cigar and Spirits. We're in Cigar Journal. A lot of social media. The cool thing about Roberto Duran, and the other thing that attracted me to come to that, is that our PR team of Creativas, which is Gabriel Pineros and his wife Eliza, they did all the stuff for Tiranio. I met them when I first came back with Tiranio. Did a lot of work with them. They had already signed on with Roberto. They had been with him for quite a bit of time, as was our graphics guy Humberto Arias from Cigar Package Design. He's a guy I worked with daily. He used to work in our office one day a week, but there wasn't a day that I wasn't bothering him for something else, for something new. And These guys were already with Roberto. Miguel, our Mid-Atlantic rep, Frank, are there. And Strom Farberic. I don't know if you Strom from the CAO days. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's doing up toward the Northeast. And like I told you, we're looking for a Texas rep. I mean, the everything's falling into place, and like we talk about it, it's definitely not a sprint. It's a marathon, and we wanna build awareness of this brand leading to the IPCPR, and we feel good about it. We feel it can happen. So
all right. Well, let me ask you a question, because I'm just gonna start coming at you just hot and heavy with questions. You talk about it being a marathon. I think every company that we talk to says, you know, they're building businesses for the long run. And some of them I believe and some of them I don't, frankly, because there's a lot of things like quick limited editions or quick one-hitters that really I don't think build brand loyalty necessarily. And it just keeps consumers wanting the newer, the best. And it's not like, oh, I'm just going to stick with my core. I hate to use this example because I always do, but Padron, right? What is Roberto Duran doing as a company setting themselves up for a marathon versus a sprint?
Well, I'll tell you, he had only the three Asan blends, the White, the Maduro, and the Burgundy, and released three brand new blends for the IPCPR. We were talking about it today. We won't be coming out with another new brand this year at next year's IPCPR. We have a few line extensions. So we're gonna focus on the catalog we have right now, which we feel is very strong. We're gonna focus on that through the better part of all of next year, and through the IPCPR. You know, we're toying around and playing around with different sizes and different line extensions, but there will not be a new cigar at the IPCPR. We feel very strongly about the portfolio right now, and we're gonna push it hard. So,
that makes sense.
We're really not into the limited. I wasn't really on board with that with Tarano, and we weren't doing that at Tarano, and we're certainly, I don't believe we're going to do it here.
Got it. Okay.
The endless limited editions. I don't believe in that.
Okay. Well, let me ask you another question that kind of came off a previous thing that you said. Oh, crap, I totally forgot what I was going to say, and it was like a great question, total just genius expelling out of me here. Oh, let me get back to it here. Crap.
Well, okay. Logan, while you're doing that, I'll remind everyone that they're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Wherever you are out there in the world today, Logan has his question back for Jack Tarano here with Roberto P. Duran Cigars. Talking about all these new three new blends that he's got coming out from this last IPCPR, also the three core lines. Logan, before you get into your next question, this next segment's brought to us by who?
Rob, I'm glad you asked. This next segment is brought to us by none other than Rodrigo Cigars. If you go to CigarFederation.com and look in the top, there's a banner there that looks like it's shaking like an earthquake. You click on that, it'll take you to a survey, and it's not spam. Fill out that survey. George is trying to collect feedback on his brand and for some upcoming projects and just kind of get a pulse of what the modern consumer is looking for. Fill out that survey. It takes about 5 minutes, and he'll give you $20 towards credit of Rodrigo Cigars and Leaf and Bean Cigars in his cigar store, and that also includes a brand new Corona project. So $20, 5 minutes, that's like $80 an hour. That's good math in my book. Actually, it's more than that. That'd be what? Hold on. That'd be 10, 12. What's 12 times 20? But $240 an hour. If you make that much and you don't do it, your time's not worth that much. Anyways, check it out. CigarFederation.com. Click the banner. Back to my question, Jack, because it just came back to me. Considering you're the marketing guy and you were talking about how you're doing Cigar Snob, Cigar Insider, I've always wanted to ask this question. I have a feeling you're going to give me the straight answer on it, is that when it comes to being in magazines, Cigar Aficionado, Cigar Snob, all that, there's a lot of money that you put in. Do you feel like those magazines actually get you the results that you're looking for? Or is it better just to put the feet on the street and the boots on the ground and going out and meeting customers and retailers?
Wow. You're good.
I know it.
We've been debating that question for for quite a few months with different. I mean, I still believe in the magazines. What I am seeing more and more, and I'm sure you guys see it as well when you walk into a brick and mortar, which is mostly where you see these magazines, is people on their smartphone, on their laptop, on their tablet. Yep. Nobody's picking up these magazines. And the great debate has been, should we invest in more POS material and more lighted signs and more tin signs and more shelf talkers and more product for events? Would that suit us better than advertising in magazines? And up to now, magazines are have a slight edge, and we're still sticking to the magazines, but I kind of see the trend going the other way, where there's more value in branding in a store, having a lounge, having ashtrays everywhere than on the off chance that somebody picks up a magazine and happens to stop on your ad.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, I agree. Obviously, I'm a proponent of social media and new media, right? But, I mean, I take you, Jack, as kind of a traditional guy. Kind of like how you said, oh, Logan, you're grumpy in the first 3 seconds. I take you as a very traditional guy, right? No limited editions. You're talking about doing magazines. Let me ask you this, is that why is the cigar industry, even the newer guys, very traditional? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very traditional, like, oh, I'm going to go be in a magazine or, you know, things like that. I mean, is that just a product of the industry? Is it that, you know, that's what people are telling everyone to do? Like, I've always been so curious because, not that I'll ever start a cigar brand, but if I did, I think I would do things completely different. Like, I'm just wondering why the traditional part haven't left the industry yet and it's still 2014.
Well, I think a lot of people are in this industry are around my age and older, so we grew up with newspapers and magazines. And
that's true. You know, last time I read a newspaper, like 4 years ago.
Well, listen, I was subscribing to the newspaper, and my wife canceled it on me.
Oh,
that was very disappointing. I read like one section. I would get it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I read the like movie section on Friday, so she canceled it on me. But I don't really go to the internet for my news. I don't, you know, I kind of still like reading newspapers, and like when I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel and they leave the USA Today on my door, it's very exciting. I don't think the hotels know how happy I get when I open the door and there's a USA Today. It's very, very cool. But I think the cigar industry is very rich with it's a very rich history, and I don't know if that has anything to do with magazines or, but I mean, I can tell you that I'm just a kind of guy that likes, you know, I don't like downloading music. I like buying a CD and reading the liner notes and I like seeing the lyrics. I like actually physically holding it. So, you know, I know I'm a dying breed, but and sadly, I think that may be going away for I don't know what the magazine industry will be like in 5 years. But you know, they're very unique. They're like Cigar Aficionado and Cigar and Spirits. They have subscribers. So I think you're a little ahead of the game if you can have 20, 30, 40. Cigar Aficionado probably has a few hundred thousand subscribers that actually pay to get that delivered to their house. I mean, that raises the value a little bit as opposed to, you know, just running into it in a cigar shop.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. Well, let me ask you this.
I like that you always agree with me.
I do. Hey, I do. I do always agree with you. I think you're a smart guy. Well, let me ask you this. If, you know, what do you think about, you know, we talked about kind of traditional market and stuff like that. You know, what do you think about, you know, kind of the Cuban tobacco market? I mean, do you see, you know, the embargo being lifted anytime soon? And if it is, I mean, what do you think that will have impact-wise on the U.S. market?
You know, I don't know. That's I've been asked that question for the past 4 years, and it seems like every year it gets a little closer to lifting the embargo. I think the day it does get lifted, that this market will be flooded with Cuban cigars. And I don't think the Cubans can keep up with that demand with tobacco or quality. And I think very quickly people will start realizing that you don't need to pay $20, $30, $40 for a cigar to get a good quality cigar. And the cigars coming out of Nicaragua, I'd put them up to the Cubans today all day long. I think they're just as good. And, you know, when people were leaving Cuba, when the revolution and my family and other families were leaving Cuba, it wasn't only regular citizens. It was the best rollers, the best growers, the best. They all left. They went to the Dominican Republic. They went to Nicaragua, and it took a generation or so. And I think they're producing some amazing cigar. The wrapper fields that we have in Ecuador, the wrapper coming out of that field is just spectacular. And you know, Roberto has that knowledge from Cuba. I think it'll be tough in the beginning. It'll be everybody smoking Cubans. I remember when I was young, and I don't know how old you guys are, but you couldn't get Coors beer east of the Mississippi. and everybody that we knew that would go to here in Miami, anybody that would go, like, they're on vacation to Colorado, you'd like, oh my God, bring back a case of Coors, bring back a six pack. You know, that's like liquid gold. You know, and then we'd get it and we'd drink it and we'd be, oh my God, this is just so good. And then we released it nationwide and we realized that beer sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
So I'm not saying Cuban cigars are gonna suck, but I don't think. Certainly, they're not what they were 30, 40 years ago.
Okay.
I'm sitting here listening to that and realizing, Logan, how lucky we are that's not the kind of thing that we're dealing with.
I know. Well, I mean, I always say the same thing, is that when people ask me, well, you know, what should I smoke? Should I get Cubans? What do you think about Cubans? And I'm sure this will just piss Catfish off because that's all he smokes. But, you know, I think the Cuban market, if that was to happen, what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of smaller companies that are out of Nicaragua and the Dominican are going to suffer because everyone's going to smoke a Cuban purely because of the allure, right? Okay. So it's going to be flooded. Quality control is going to go down. They're not going to have the quality of tobacco. And then after a couple of years, when that market busts, I think Nicaraguans, Dominicans will be so cheap, you know, that people will say, man, why am I paying $30 when I can really get this really good Nicaraguan cigar for $2? And I think the market will right itself. I think the thing I'm most excited about, if the market did, would be for the companies that are in Nicaragua now that now will have access to Cuban tobacco to see what they can do. Absolutely. I think that'll be very interesting. But I don't know. I mean, that's just me. But another question, because I'm just asking all the questions tonight. You know, I've smoked, you know, out of Roberto Duran cigars, I've smoked the Burgundy, and I've smoked the White Premium as well as the Maduro. And I had a question about the Maduro, and I'm just pulling it up to make sure I got this right so I don't screw this up. But it has and the reason I asked this, because you were mentioning the field in Ecuador, is I've seen, I mean, typically Maduro wrappers, right? I mean, they're fermented longer, so on and so forth. I mean, usually you have, you know, Connecticut broadleaf or maybe a San Andreas. I have not seen, and maybe that's just because I'm blind, too many Corojo Maduro wrappers. What was the impetus behind that? And, I mean, I don't see a lot of Corojo necessarily grown in Ecuador either. What was the impetus behind using that wrapper? Is that what you guys are growing in the fields? Do you think it would be different or unique? Why put that wrapper on that cigar?
That is what we're growing in the fields, and that, unlike many Maduros that you see today that are processed Maduros that are cooked, this is a natural Maduro. They age this 22 months to get it to that rich Maduro flavor and look. So really? This is 100% natural. A lot of cigars you're getting out there, either with what is it that they put on these, propylene or whatever they put on them, and they cook them. And I mean, I was in Esteli last year and I visited a few factories, and I was shocked to see how they were cooking tobacco. I thought they were like cleaning their clothes, and it ended up being like tobacco in these giant vats. This is a 100% natural process to get it to that Maduro.
Really? Because I thought, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, factories out there that, you know, process your tobacco, dip it, do all types of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought typically Maduros, you got that color purely just from the fermentation and setting in a Pilon with the pressure and the heat for an extended period of time. Is that not the case?
That is the case if you have that extended amount of time.
Oh, so we're trying to pull the fast one with the whiskey and adding the caramel flavoring to it instead of letting it age. Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. So if you have that extended amount of time, and like I said, we've been aging these for at least 22 months, you can get it to that. But if you're hard-pressed to put out a production or you have orders to fill, you're cutting corners.
Absolutely. Well, that brings up another great question because Rob doesn't want to talk this episode. Is, you know, I think with the FDA, right?
Rob's playing video games over there. I don't know.
I'm out playing Galaga. What do you want?
You're looking at Ginger. Anyway.
He was hot, though.
I don't know. I need to Google this lady. I'm going to ask one more question, then Rob, you're up. So, you know, with the FDA, we kind of spoke about it a little bit before. I mean, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories and all of this. You, obviously, being in the industry, you probably know more than I do. What do you think is going to happen with the FDA? I mean, we had the deeming document. The comment period is closed. We haven't heard nothing since a week or two after IPCPR. I mean, what do you think the next thing is that's coming?
Wow. I wish I knew, Logan. I think the best case scenario
sure that.
For companies like ours is that sadly the flavors take a hit. They take a hit on the just like they did with flavored cigarettes and those things that they go after that side of the industry first, and that'll be sad for them, but it'll be a little bit of a saving grace for us. Other than that, it's anybody's guess. I mean, they could. You see some of these countries that Australia and the plain packaging and they could do some serious damage. But I think with the work of the CRA and Glenn Loop and these guys, they've lobbied hard, and I think hopefully there's a better understanding of what our industry is. I mean, our industry is less than 1% of the entire tobacco is premium hand-rolled cigars.
Wow.
So, I mean, to lump us in with cigarettes and with everything else would be a fatal mistake to a lot of companies. But hopefully that doesn't happen. But it's anybody's guess. I mean, I wish I had an idea of how hard the gavel's going to fall on the cigar industry. Something's going to happen. Something will happen. I mean, they're just not going to say, all right, go ahead. You know, it's business as usual. So something will come up, and depending on who you talk to right now is how big the gloom and doom is. But we definitely feel a little bit better than we did before, and we'll just have to see, and the strong will survive.
Exactly. Dude, I'm totally a Marianne, dude. I'll tell you that.
I'm right with you.
It's funny. You asked me the question, and yeah, I've seen the show, but I don't remember what either one of them looked like. Ginger was the movie star, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, so she had to be hot. That's not necessarily true, but that was where I was. That was my gamble.
Hey, it could have been worse. Logan could have been into the professor.
Who's the professor?
Professor
and Marianne. Do we have to sing the song for you?
No, we don't. No. I still can't believe you've never seen that show, Logan. It's not the best show by any means, and really all that I know about it is they were on the island. I don't know how they got off.
It doesn't stand the test of time. That show is god-awful right now. I
mean. Some shows do. Some you can turn on. Like I Love Lucy, you catch some of those, the old episodes. They're still pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get past the racial stereotypes that you're going to get from some of that stuff.
But those are my favorite.
That's a topic. That's a whole other topic that, you know, for later. But, Logan, keep going, man. You're on a roll with all these good questions.
Man, I just checked out. I was looking at Marianne, bro. I don't know. Let me think of a couple more, you know.
So you asked me a great in-depth FDA question, and while I'm answering, you're checking out Marianne.
I was, dude. I did. I was hoping you would talk longer because I only got through the first page of Google. I was just checking her out. Well, you know, let me ask you, because you're kind of the marketing guy, and you're helping with sales. you know, being you guys have went from 50 stores or, you know, 50 stores to 200 in just a short period of time, which is friggin' amazing, is, but, you know, if you are, you were in your seat, you know, 6 weeks ago when you started and you guys were getting going, what is the best way to increase the number of stores you're in? Is it, you know, hiring people to have relationships to get it in? Is it just going around and seeing out a bunch of samples and throwing a bunch of lines in the water and hoping one sticks? I'm just been, I mean, I've never been a rep. I've never really seen the repping process. I'm just curious, what is the best strategy, at least in your opinion, to...
It's a little of everything. I mean, in Florida and in South Florida, it's a completely different animal. I mean, South Florida is the toughest market in the country. I mean, all the manufacturers are down here. These guys are getting bombarded. These brick and mortars down here are getting bombarded every day. It's a tough market to crack. As you start going north and north of West Palm Beach and into Orlando and toward Jacksonville, it starts. They're accepting you more. They're very happy that you're visiting them. They're a lot more open. And then the Midwest, I mean, when I was with Tarano and I would do events, me and my cousin would do an event here in Miami, and these guys see us in this store all the time. So it was like, who cares? Jack Tarano's at that event. You know, I can buy a box and he'll sign it for me. Who cares? I can do that any day. Now you go to the Midwest and there's a line of people waiting to say hi to you and thank you for taking the time to come and meet them, and it's I went off a little bit on that, but on that question, but truly it's a little bit every market has to be attacked a little bit differently, and it's boots on the ground, it's traveling, it's a grassroots effort. I mean, you really really gotta here. I mean, I've gone all the way from Miami to Jacksonville. I've done the entire loop once and visited a lot of stores, and it's a lot of relationship building and letting them know that, listen, I'll be back around in about 3 weeks. They're used to seeing reps two or three times a year. In the beginning, with a company like Roberto, they need to see me, at least once every 5 weeks, and start understanding that we're there and we're going to support them and we're willing to do events and we're willing to do whatever it takes to get this product to the consumer. You know, anybody can sell cigars to a store. It's not that hard. It's hard for me in South Florida, but it's not that hard to sell cigars to a store. It's the tricky part is helping that store sell to a consumer. Because, I mean, you walk into some of these stores and As a casual smoker, they are overwhelmed with choices. You know, and how many different ways are there to blend Nicaraguan and Dominican? I mean, you've probably got 200 of the same, very same near blends there. There's a lot of marketing, a lot of getting in their ear, a lot of samples, a lot of sending out samples, a lot of. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. I mean, I really enjoy hanging out at shops and hanging out with consumers and getting to know them. So
absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, how would you? You said every market's different. I mean, how would you geographically carve out the U.S. market? I mean, do you have Miami's got its little bubble, and then there's the Midwest, and then there's the Northeast? I mean, how would you say if you were going to say, I need to go staff this many regions with a rep? Well, I mean, how many regions? I mean, how are they different? Because I mean, I find it very interesting. I mean, I didn't know this, but I could guess. You're exactly right that Miami and South Florida, all the manufacturers there. There's been, I would assume that Padron probably does pretty well because they've had a factory there, and I would assume that, you know, where manufacturers' hometowns are, you know, like maybe in Texas or Austin or wherever they're at, they would probably do pretty well. I'm just curious how you would divide that market up and how they're kind of different from each other.
Well, Padron does well just about everywhere.
Well, that's true.
That's a completely different animal. But you kind of try to, a company like ours, we're going to try to hit the strong cigar markets first, which Texas is a strong market. The Midwest is a strong market. The Southeast is a strong market. The Northeast, depending on where you are up there, it can be really strong or be suffering a little bit because of state taxes.
Right.
So, California is a tough state to sell cigars in. it's a real we had a real rough time with Tarano there, and I anticipate not much of a difference with Roberto stuff. But really, I think if you can build those big cigar markets, if you can build a name for yourself there, it'll trickle down to other markets where people will be asking for them, and people will they'll see these type of shows, they'll see social media, they'll see advertising, and they'll walk into their store and ask for the cigar, and it'll be a combination of us with the boots on the ground and hitting every store, and somebody in some town that we hadn't even thought of walking into their local retailer and saying, "Hey, man, I heard about this Roberto P. Duran cigar," and them reaching out to us. So,
right.
You know, it's hard work. It's hard work, but it's a lot of fun and rewarding. So.
Absolutely. So, I know we've got a few minutes left, but
I need to remind everybody that they're listening to Cigar Chat live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in with us wherever you are out there in the world. We're here with Jack Tarano from Roberto P. Duran Cigars. Logan won't stop talking, but that's okay, because I got a pretty I got to stretch out my back. I was having some back issues, so I got to do some back stretches and stuff while Logan was talking. Logan, last section is brought to us by who?
Our last segment's brought to us by our good friends Moya Ruiz Cigars. Check out, come to Cigar Federation, the banner you'll see. It's a picture of actually all their cigars, the Preto, the Habano, as well as the Nunchuck. Support them. They're great guys, even though Danny said my brand new daughter's first name was a stupid idea and he's a jerk for it. But they do make good cigars, so check them out. They're good fellas. I guess, what is it? MoyaRuizCigars.com.
Yeah, you really did. You see, that's the thing. When you're thinking of names, never tell people the real name.
Hey, man, listen, Callaway is a sweet name.
What?
Even your wife said it was a cool name.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Don't say golf different.
You spelled it. It's spelled differently.
But the thing that hit me the other day, and I don't remember how this came up in conversation. I think we had just gotten off a conversation or something. I was talking to my wife. You have Callie and Allie.
I know.
So, like,
I can maybe just go, Elliot, and then they both come running.
In, like, 7 years, when you're yelling at somebody, they're not going to know which one it is.
Yeah, it's way. If I yell at them, they both come running.
Oh, okay. That was the plan. Yeah. Okay.
That's the plan. So,
real quick, I've got a question, but I need, Jack, I need you to settle a bet for me.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with Star Wars?
Yes.
You've seen the movie.
I have.
Chewbacca. What was Chewbacca?
A Wookiee.
Okay, that was what I needed. I just needed to settle that bet, and I was right, and the guy in the chat room was wrong. Thank you for doing that for me. I appreciate it.
And what sound does Chewbacca make?
Oh, that was actually good. That was pretty good. That was a solid Chewbacca.
I got a dog that looks like Chewbacca.
You had a cat hanging out with you a minute ago, too. I saw that. You got the whole menagerie over there.
Dude, I got two dogs and five cats.
Oh,
five cats.
But there's a computer cat over here that I can't be on the computer, and she just has to sit right next to me.
That's two dogs and five cats is a lot of cleanup.
Here's Chewbacca.
He does kind of look like Chewbacca. Yes. A little more Ewok, maybe.
More of an Ewok, that's true.
So you were talking about, you know, it's easier to get into stores than it is to maybe educate those store owners and the folks working at those shops so they can educate the consumers as to what product it is that you're offering. I've never really asked this question, and I don't know how much of this you'll want to tell me or not, but what is an average, if you're going into a shop that you've never been into before and you've got a planned meeting, what is an average trip to a new shop? What is that like? Like, what does that consist of? Is it just... Are you kind of sitting down, smoking the cigars and talking about them, or is there more to it?
Yeah, more or less. It's just hopefully you do have a meeting and you're not cold calling them and hoping the manager or the buyer or the owner is there. But if you have a meeting, it's just sitting there and it's really cool because it's a very casual setting as you're enjoying a cigar with them and you're talking about the product. It's almost a very easy flowing conversation. And I mean, I'm really not pressing them. I mean, I want to build a relationship. I want to let them know that we're going to be there for them, because it's not only educating their sales guys to sell to consumers. It's letting them know that we're there to support. I mean, I opened an account in Naples, and the guy called me on Sunday afternoon at 2 to ask me a question, and I answered the phone, and he was like, I was going to leave you a message. I can't believe you answered. And I said, dude, I told you, I'm here for you 24 hours a day. Just any questions you have. It's letting these guys know that you're there to support whatever they need, whether it be some little scramble golf tournament that they're throwing, or a fundraiser, or a dinner, or us doing events in their store. Listen, we become partners with every retailer, and we want them to know that we're fully going to support them as they support us. So it's not just a matter of giving. You know, what happened in the beginning with the Asan is it was being sold mostly in South Florida and a little bit north into stores, but that was it. You know, hey, you guys want to buy into this Asan? This is what the product's about. Yeah, sure. Give me 2 boxes of each. Give me 6 boxes. Okay, thank you. And then they would leave.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was no real support in helping that store sell to the consumer. I've run into that problem where I've gone into stores that happened to, and they've said, well, why should I buy more product if, you know, the stuff you guys sold me a year and a half ago is still sitting on the shelves?
Yeah.
So I gotta try to, you know, explain to them that the direction the company's, you know, from this year is ready to take things to another level, and we're hiring a national sales director and a marketing team and a sales force and things are going to be different now. So it's a lot of massaging.
So okay, we're right up against it. This is the last question. So in stark contrast to that, what is the biggest benefit and then maybe the biggest detractor of an event like, not really an event, but a gathering like IPCPR, where you're on the other end, where people are coming to you, and it's bam, 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 you're getting retailer after retailer after retailer. What's the best benefit of that for you, and then probably the biggest detractor? I know you haven't done that with Roberto Duran yet, but I know you've been there in the past, so I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, listen, the benefit is what it is. The retailers are coming to you as opposed to you going to the retailers. It's the one time a year where they come to you to buy. You know, you're not. They want to know what you're offering, what the show deals are, what they can get, and these retailers are budgeting for that show, and it's a matter of, you know, they you got their full attention. I mean, they're not sitting in their store, they're not distracted in their store, they're basically in our store. Okay. And it's your time to shine, your time to really sell them on the new product, on line extensions, on the direction of the company. You have them there. The detraction from the IPCPR that I've noticed in the last few years is it seems to be a lot of the attendance seems to be down year in and year out. Retailers are manufacturers are releasing their show specials up to a month before the show. And then running them a few weeks after. Well, you know, you're in a damn if you do and damn if you don't, because you have to keep pace with them and you have to do it. But then why should a retailer say, well, I'm not going to go to Vegas and spend $3,000 if this I'm going to get the exact same show deal, just picking up my phone. And you're seeing that in attendance. So I don't know how they change that. I don't know how the IPCPR. At Tarano, we tried to do something different this year where we actually gave away $2,500 in casino chips for anybody that put in an order at the show. And on the third day, the booth was full of people, and we gave a retailer $2,500 in casino chips.
Wow.
So they had, you know, anybody that our show specials were out like 3 weeks before and they about a week after. But unless you ordered on the show floor, you didn't have a chance at that. So That seemed to create a lot of interest, and I don't know if more manufacturers do that or if the IPCPR somehow can crack down and force manufacturers to offer show floor deals.
Yeah, that's it's tough. I just wanted to take we don't have too many guys who are in a sales in the sales component come on the show and talk to us. So it's a unique opportunity for us to get a glimpse into the that side of the business. I mean, normally we're talking about, well, why did you blend with this or whatever. Yeah. We didn't really touch on that much today because that's not where you are in the business. So thank you for taking those questions. It does give a unique perspective, especially when you're talking about IPCPR. It's like I never thought about it as, instead of going to their home field, I mean, you're kind of, now they're coming to us. And it's a neutral site because you really don't live there, but I mean, you're there, you're set up, you're more comfortable, and it's come to me and we can talk about it. It definitely is a home field advantage. Yeah, exactly. With that, you know, our segment's up, so I wanted to thank you, Jack, for taking the time. Really do appreciate it, and answering all of Logan's questions and both of mine. Really do appreciate that. And actually, I looked back, and Ginger did not age well, man.
Woo! No.
She was. She looked good during the show, but she did not age well. And I think it looks like they've both been arrested. I don't know. I saw mugshots. But anyway, nice. That's neither here nor there. Jack, let everybody know real quick where they can find Roberto P. Duran Cigars online.
Online.
That's it. Websites and, you know.
Our website's robertoduranscigars.com. We're on social media, Roberto P. Duran. Please follow us there. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. It's all under Roberto P. Duran Cigars. Okay. And I've been getting a lot of calls for people wanting to buy the cigars online, and there's actually a store in Naples that will be carrying them as of tomorrow. They'll be online at marcusdaniel.com.
Okay. And I think actually at store.cigarfederation.com has them too, Logan.
Matter of fact, they are.
Awesome.
Through Delaware Cigar. So they're available there as well. So you guys can find them there. Really do appreciate it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate that as always. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Happy and safe Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week. Logan, who do we got next week?
Hold on.
Oh, we've got...
The Thursday Recluse.
Recluse Cigars. Yeah, that... That Recluse Draconian, I liked that cigar, so that'll be fun. We can talk about that. But so we'll see you guys next week. We'll be back on Thursday next week after the holiday. Everybody have a safe holiday. Enjoy spending time with your family. Jack, again, appreciate it. Logan.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we will we'll catch you guys next week.
And we're fucking back.
Yeah, now Logan gets to let loose all the effing and
bullshit, man. It's
like the first 45 minutes I haven't cussed in fucking I don't know how long.
I know, dude. It's fucking bullshit. The FCC can kiss my ass.
Just to let you guys know, so we actually had Jack on. We started the hangout probably about 20 minutes before the show, and
actually promptly on time. So thank you.
No, he actually called me because I was late sending him the link, so he was on top of it, and we weren't. But he got on, and we were bullshitting a little bit and talking, and he's like, "Are we fucking live, or what's going on right now?" And I was like, "Well, no, we're not." But I'm glad that you said that because you can't say that when you're live. So I was a little bit. Jack will be honest. I had the beep button ready, but I didn't need it. I'm impressed.
That was good. I said suck. That was okay, right?
That's okay.
Oh, good, damn it. Okay. You're good.
I said suck, and I wasn't sure if it was okay, so I said it again, like 3 seconds later.
All right. So okay. So we covered a ton of questions. Logan asked some insightful stuff.
Of course.
I didn't. But we've got giveaways. Logan, I don't know what we've got on hand and how many people we're picking.
I got a bunch of shit that was emailed to me. We've got a fucking smattering of...
It's all emailed to you?
Yeah, no, they mailed it to me the other day. Got it yesterday. It was well packed, too, by the way. So anyways, we're giving away actually 3 on Facebook. So go to facebook.com/CigarFederation. And we're giving away 3 samplers there, and that contest is going fucking ape shit. But if you're watching tonight... What we'll do is the first 5 people to email me, subject line, Roberto P. period Duran Cigars, full name, mailing address. I'll pick 5 winners, and then I'll also pick a couple of podcast winners until next Tuesday, or next Monday, excuse me. And the question you have to answer to win in the podcast is, how many cats does Jack own?
Oh, good job. I was going to say... Ask if, you know, who we preferred, if it was a Ginger or Marianne situation. But
I was going to do that, but there's been too many sexual talks
recently. How many pussies does Jack have?
How many split tails does he own? All right, that got weird. All right, yeah, so
a little bit.
I know, man. Hey, man, we can't be talking about cats and pussy and stuff.
Yeah, no, it gets weird. No, it's fine.
Unless it's Jessica Padrone. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Had to go there.
You'll have to tell them the story offline.
I'll have to tell you the story because it is my most epic fuck-up ever.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was, yeah.
Hey, so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you guys a question.
Whoa. Okay.
Boston, California, how did you guys hook up to do this show?
Logan, I'll let Rob tell it. Rob will tell you the lie, and then I'll tell you the real version. So, Rob, you tell the lie first.
It's funny, it's because it's not a lie. I actually still have the tweets. I have them favorited. Logan just stalked me on Twitter, and he's like, hey, because I was running my own website at the time. And he's and Logan, you were doing your own website.
I was.
He's like, hey, we should do a show together or whatever. I'm paraphrasing, but Logan reached out to me. Whether it was because he thought I was handsome, or whatever else it could have been, I don't know. But that was how that happened. But yeah, we did the show together. I mean, the Cigar Chat started out as a literal chat room. We were talking about that offline. I remember the first episode that we did, we smoked was a Man of War. And it was we just told people in advance, this is what we're going to smoke. So everybody join us and we'll all smoke the same thing. We'll talk about it. And it changed over the years. But yeah, we had been doing the show for about a year and a half before we actually met in person.
Believe it or not. Yeah. That's not exactly what happened. I wasn't stalking him. And first of all, I didn't know what he looked like because he had this little fat avatar-looking dude with a tie on. And that's not exactly what happened because
I read
a couple of my reviews and I read a couple of your reviews and we had commented and I was just like, hey, you seem like a cool guy. I want to do this chat idea and I want to have a co-host, obviously, and we need to do it together. Let's do it together. And Rob was like, yeah, you sound like a fucking awesome guy, Logan. Like, you can be my best friend. And I said, okay. And then the rest was history.
Two completely different stories.
Yeah. It's all shreds of truth. Shreds of truth.
It reminds me, if you ever watch any of those 30 for 30s on ESPN, they do a great job with some of those shows. But there's one that was Playing for the Mob. And
I watched that one. It was sweet.
You watch that one?
Yeah, dude. I love 30 for 30.
It was about these kids who were playing at Boston College, and Henry Hill, the guy from Goodfellas.
Yeah, dude, Henry Hill, real Henry Hill in that is amazing.
Just old school and like.
Dude's awesome.
But anyway, the point I'm getting at is there were like three of the kids who were involved, and they are not kids anymore. This is back in the early 80s, the late 70s, and they were all interviewed, and then Henry Hill and his gang were all interviewed, and nobody had the same story. Every story was different. So yeah, like with any good tale, it's going to have different sides.
They're like, did you threaten those kids?
No.
I didn't threaten those kids.
I told him I was going to break his legs, but I didn't threaten him.
I didn't threaten him. It was hilarious.
That was great. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Way off topic. But.
Well, I'm one of those guys that believes the truth lies in the middle. So
yeah, it's probably somewhere.
I believe a little bit of both, and then you guys make a really good team. So
thank you, man.
Even though you really only got to see one side of it tonight, I didn't get to talk much.
Yeah, usually it's me being a jackass and then Rob being all serious and answering all the questions. But
in the pre-show, that's what I was expecting.
That's normally what you get on the pre-show. I decided to elevate my game a little bit tonight and be a little bit more, Dan Rather.
I take credit for that. I think I elevated your game by calling you out with your sourpuss face on the pre-show. So
you did, man. You called it out like instantly, and it was so true.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
And then I told you you look like Seth Rogen. So.
And I've heard that too. So
not all happy and stuff.
Oh no, man! I love Seth Rogen.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome.
His beer is nice, sweet though. But so what we've got for some winners? So Jay Zarota, whoops, I'm not shipping to Canada. Oh good, you're shipping to the U.S.
Fast Jimmy.
Yeah, Jason Myers, Matthew Ty, Harley Holmes finally winning something, and. Jay Reiniger off the blacklist for the second week in a row. And don't forget, we'll pick a podcast winner for how many cats emailed to me at Logan at Cigar Federation until next Monday. So.
Cool. So that's Monday. What is the date Monday? Is that like
first?
First, yeah. Okay.
That's it.
Well, yeah, but see, people on the podcast can't see that.
Oh, what do you mean?
I think that was the joke. So if you're listening to the podcast, he just kind of told you it's that many.
Yeah, well,
did I use one or two hands?
I don't know. I did. I'll be honest. I put up the wrong number the first time.
So. You did 10 days? Yeah, that's fucking right. A week is 7 days, bro.
What?
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So yeah, I told you we'd have you here for about an hour, Jack. It's just about right at an hour. Seem to wrap the show up the same way every single time. Why did somebody email me?
Who was that idiot?
Well, not an idiot. It was just a guy who wasn't paying attention.
Who was it?
Isaac McLaughlin.
Emailed. Who the fuck is Isaac McLaughlin?
I don't know, but I think he should win.
What, like win a stupidity prize for not following directions?
Well, you know what's weird? It says his name and his email address is Isaac Hill, but then in his signature it's Isaac McLaughlin.
Like Sarah McLaughlin?
Spelled the same.
No, okay. Well, maybe they're related.
Anyway, sorry. Distracted. I think we covered most of the questions. Sorry, I'm totally distracted right now. I don't know what is going on. We covered most of the audience questions. We asked all of Logan's questions. And we did all the giveaways. So we're going to let Jack go because it's 9 o'clock over there on the East Coast.
I know.
6.
To be exact.
Yeah, Jack, seriously, though, really do appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Cool, man.
I'm looking. I know I've got some samples coming my way, so I'm looking forward to trying some of these cigars. I haven't smoked any of them yet. I know we've got a couple of reviews. What did Catfish review that he really liked? He really liked both the ones that he reviewed.
Not now.
The Burgundy, and I always hear Ron Burgundy. and the Azan White Premium. So I know he enjoyed both of those. So looking forward to trying these out, and I know everybody who has won some stuff is going to check them out and post some pictures and photos. And
I'm going to post them on my Facebook page as well.
Yeah, everybody will post that stuff up, so for sure. So, Jack, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Wish you and your family a happy and healthy and safe Thanksgiving, so enjoy
that. Likewise, my friend.
Thank you. And
I will be looking you up next month if we end up doing Austin.
Dude, I'll be there, man. If you're in Austin, let me know. We'll go out and we'll fucking rage.
All right.
Done.
Yeah, okay. We'll rage.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, sure, we'll rage.
Yeah, we'll rage. Look at
just it. Make sure you stretch first. Limber up. And it'll be fine.
I'm not even sure I know what that means.
I'll show you, man. I'll show you.
He could have just invited me to a hotel. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, boy. Okay, before this gets weird, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Guys, appreciate the support as always. You can find us at CigarFederation.com, at Robbie Raz on Twitter. Logan is Logan at Dell on Twitter, Corporate Monkey. I haven't done that in a while.
I know you haven't.
At the end of the show. Well, that was weird. That just kind of came out.
I know, man.
Anyway, thanks again for the support, guys. We'll be back next week with Recluse Cigars. And then after that, we've got the Year in Reviews show. That's going to be kind of fun. We'll have a couple of different bloggers come on. We'll be talking about some of our favorite stuff from the year. So that'll be fun. Guys, we appreciate it. Thanks again. Everybody have a great holiday.
Adios.